Stand before you in the fear of the Lord this morning. Can anybody tell me what the message was about last Sunday? Other than Anthony. Anthony gave us a reminder to look for the coming of Jesus. And I remember him saying in the message that for some that is a thought of joy. And for others, it's a thought of terror, that Jesus will come back again. And as I prepared for my message this morning, in some ways, it's sort of a sequel to that message. The song we sang, one of the songs we sang, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." I would say it's my message in a nutshell. Anthony reminded us of the coming of Jesus and how we need to be prepared. And I want to look specifically this morning at what preparation is and how do I know if I'm prepared. You can turn with me for some starting thoughts to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, I'm going to start with verse 14 and read through verse 30. Matthew 25, 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto them, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Okay, my first main point is the kingdom of heaven. And as we read through this passage here, he says the kingdom of heaven is like a householder, a businessman. He's traveling, and he's gone for a while, and he's coming back again. Today is the question of whether you will be a part of the kingdom of heaven, not at the end of time when Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back, as Anthony pointed out last Sunday, he's coming for his own. So he's coming for those who are part of his kingdom today. He's coming for those who are already serving him. In the kingdom of heaven, there is a master and there are servants. Jesus is the master. Jesus is this man who handed out the talents. I believe in this passage, the talents were money. But Jesus is the one who has given us everything that we have here today. He is the master. He is the kingdom founder. He is the one that perpetrates the kingdom. And we are the servants. So today we're living in a time when we are being challenged to put the resources that Jesus has given into our hands as stewards to good use for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like a man that has given talents to his servants. And then the test is when he comes back and sees what the servants were doing with them. So what did he expect his servants to be doing with them? Using them for his benefit. He was looking for servants that were using the talents for his benefits, for the benefit of the king. And just an introduction here to my next major point of kingdom conflict. We see here the one man, he chose to bury the talent. He says he knew that the king would demand a reaping of things that he did not sow. So in essence, he chose to bury the talent so he could do his own thing. He didn't have to worry about that talent. He said, if I guard it and give back what I was given, that should be good enough. We know it wasn't. But he chose to bury that talent so he didn't have to worry about it, so he could go on and do his own thing. That's kingdom conflict. Turn with me to Luke 12. Luke 12, I'm going to start reading at verse 22. Luke 12, 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Verse 22 starts out with, therefore. It is actually referring back to the parable of the rich man, who got so caught up in his materialism, he forgot God. But I think we can refer back also to the passage we read in Matthew, where there were people making choices. Am I going to serve Christ and his kingdom? Or am I going to bury what Christ gave me and live my own life? Kingdom conflict. As we read this passage, we get a picture of a battle between two. Verse 23, actually right in verse 22 already, he says, don't worry about what you eat, the clothing you're going to wear. Because life is a whole lot more than food and clothing. What's he telling us here when he says life is a whole lot more than food and clothing? He's saying there is a conflict. These things can steal our attention from the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say these are wrong things, but he said there's a conflict. It can steal your attention from the kingdom of heaven. Conflict. He says, we can get so absorbed in this, but verse 25, he said you can't even do something simple, like add a foot and a half to your height. So if you can't do that, and God can, why can't you trust in God? Why can't you trust in God to direct you in his kingdom? Verse 28, he says, God is faithful in providing these things as we have need. God is faithful in giving us the clothing, the food that we need. Verse 29, don't be doubtful that God is faithful, that God can provide. The conflict, verse 30, it says, the nations of the world are pursuing the material. But verse 31, I want you to pursue the spiritual, the kingdom of God. And he says, with that, I will take care of the other. I will take care of the material, the needs. So many times a conflict is brought about by confusing the needs and the wants. Materially, we tend to think we need a lot more than we really do. Now, there have been people in the past who have faced persecution. There are people in the past that have faced hunger. They had so little. Yet God said, food and clothing is what I will provide. Let that up to me. Kingdom conflict, verse 34, there's a test of treasure. Is what Christ entitled to me, not entitled to me, is what Christ gave me to be a steward of, my treasure? Or is, fill in the blanks, my money my treasure? My next house purchase my treasure? My vehicle, my car, fill in the blanks. There's a conflict. As we go down to the last couple of verses here, it talks about the servant that says, my Lord's not coming back. And what did he do? He went right to accomplishing his own goals. And people got in the way. And it says he was beating the other servants, the men servants and the maidens. Kingdom conflict. Is it my purposes? Or am I okay with God bringing other people into my life that make havoc of my purposes? It goes on to say that he was eating and drinking and being drunken. Kingdom conflict. Is there something wrong with eating and drinking? No. Unless that's our love. And if I'm honest with myself, I eat and drink more than I would need to eat and drink. So he's saying, beware of that. That's what the unfaithful servant is doing. And then it goes on to say about drinking. This man was getting himself caught up in vices. That was his kingdom, not God's kingdom. Okay, I want to turn to Matthew 11. Verse 12, we're going to read, the next subject here is kingdom entrance. I'm going to read this one verse, Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Entrance into the kingdom. The lot contained in this one verse. Number one, you have to make the choice to enter. The next thing I see is it takes effort to enter. You don't just push the appropriate button and get conveyed there. It takes effort to enter. And the last observation I'd like to make from this verse is, when we think about it taking effort to enter, it is also, here's this verse again here, verse 12. It's a place we need to want to be. There are a few thoughts that I see encompassed in that verse there. Entrance to the kingdom. Whether I will be prepared when Christ comes back, whether that thought is a joy to me or a fear to me, is based right here in this verse. Have I already pressed into the kingdom of heaven? If I have not entered the kingdom of heaven in this earth, I'm not going to be part of the kingdom that continues on in eternity. As Matthew 25 said, our master was here. He has given us our instructions. He has told us how to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he is going to come back. We will be reunited with him. And then we will inherit the kingdom. Today we are servants in the kingdom. If we are faithful servants, we will inherit the kingdom, just like in the parable of the talents. We will become, if I understand it right, rulers in a kingdom. Okay, move on to practical conditions for preparation. I see a number of these in Luke 12, the passage we already read. Luke 12 is kind of divided up in a couple of sections here. I'm going to back up and read some of the verses that we did not read. Luke 12, verse 13. And we'll read right up to verse 21. This instruction is being given to the multitudes. We're talking about practical things for preparation. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. One of the first things I see here is, you know, really, where is my interest? This man that comes to Jesus, his interest was in making sure things were right on a material level. And he had a brother, possibly an older brother, that was supposed to be dividing his father's inheritance. And he said, Make him divide it with me. I don't know what was going on here. Couple things, possibilities I can think of. That older brother in Jewish culture was entitled to a double portion. Was this man asking for a half portion instead of a one-third portion? I don't know. Or was the older brother keeping all three portions? I don't know. But this man's concern was material. And you know, sometimes I cringe at my heart reaction as I read Jesus' response here. He said, Why would I care to that? He said, Don't be covetousness. It's just inheritance. It's just material things. And this is not what life is all about. If it came right down to dividing an inheritance, and you all of a sudden realize you were getting none of it, could you accept Jesus' admonition here? Don't care for it. This is not what life is all about. Another place, scriptures tell us the love of money is the root of all evil. Practical preparation. Test your heart. Where is your love for material goods? Do you love money? Do you love things? If God came and stripped you of it all, like he allowed Satan to do to Job, he left your house burned and everything in it. You got in your vehicle and went to drive it down the road and wrecked. All while your business is failing or your job is facing layoffs. Do these things matter to you? Could you say, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want. Next challenge I see here, we see the man in his business. So the challenge I see here is, do we allow business to get between us and God? Do we allow business to pull us from greater things, from what life is really all about? Do we? Practical preparation for Christ's return. Verse 21, he says, invest in spiritual riches. How do I invest in spiritual riches? You know, very easy way to do that is put a lot of money in the offering plate when it comes around. That right there, you're forced to make a decision. How important is my money to me? How important is it that I get to say where God's money goes? Practical ways of figuring out where our treasure is. Am I willing to say no to material opportunities to instead maybe help somebody else that is struggling, help somebody else that is in need, help somebody else that needs time to talk, help somebody else that needs encouragement, that needs a visit? This is how we can lay up treasure in the kingdom of heaven. We already talked about not getting wrapped up in food and clothing. Trust, verses 25 to 28, talk about trusting God. And I find this being a real challenge in my life. Can I trust God to provide in the material? Can I trust God to only allow things to come into my life that he wants me to face? Can I trust God when I get in over my head because I said yes to the things I believed he's wanted me to say yes to help me through, to take me the whole way through the journey? Can I trust God to stick with me when he has taken me into the valley and it's time to go out the other side? Or do I turn to my own resources? Do I try to find my own way of conquering these challenges? Verse 29 to 30. It calls attention to, we are to do one thing, the nations of the world do another. Separation. Separation. One of the preparations of for Christ's return is separation. Now, there's a couple of ways of looking at the subject. But what he says here is it's going to be us seeking different things than what the nations of the world seek after. That is going to be the mark of separation. The nations of the world are seeking their material prosperity and popularity. We are seeking a place of service in Christ's kingdom. It's something we live. There's a separation of heart desire. It's not something we put on. Yes, our heart desires will show out in the way we live, in what we do. But let that separation start right there, the desires of the heart. Verse 31, priority. There are some practical things that show up in priority. You know, is my priority, first of all, for the kingdom of heaven? My priority should be all in the kingdom of heaven. Does that mean we don't have earthly things to do? No, we have earthly things to do. But the kingdom of heaven should trump every time. You know, that's one of the reasons that I try not to get wrapped up in politics, that I don't vote. The kingdom of heaven needs to take my attention, needs to take my effort, needs to take my resources. The next thing I see is in preparedness is expectancy of the return of Christ. Verses 37 to 39 talk about watching. And if I'm not looking for the kingdom of Christ, if I am here trying to fulfill another day here on earth without looking for the kingdom of Christ, without looking for Christ's return to take those in his kingdom with him, am I prepared? If I am here saying, not yet, God, I have some other things I want to do in life, am I prepared? I don't think so. It speaks to where our priority is. It speaks to where our vested interests are. Verse 45 talks about love and care for those under us. Love and care for those around us. And this is probably one of the biggest things that need to be done for preparation. Because Jesus said one place that the whole gospel hangs on the thought of love for God and love for your fellow man. Am I exercising love? Do the people around me know that I care about them? It's a challenge we each need to put to ourselves as we think about preparation for the kingdom. Turn with me to Matthew 24. I'm going to skip around here in a little bit, but we're going to start at verse 1. Matthew 24. We'll have. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And he talks about numerous signs here. Verse 9, They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I'm going to pause there for a little bit. Again, reminded not to get lost in the physical. Verse 4, he talks about being rooted and grounded. So preparation for the kingdom is knowing the Bible and standing on it, being grounded in it. Verse 9, he talked about accepting suffering, actually expecting suffering as the kingdom of the world carries out different goals than what you as part of the kingdom of heaven will. Verse 10, be bold for God. Some will be offended. Be bold for God. Live a life of boldness. Do not be intimidated. Build up for each other. Verse 12, love God fervently. Spend time with God. Live for God. Verse 13, endure to the end. A big part of preparation for Jesus' return is just continuing what you set out with. When you chose to serve Christ, just continuing what you set out, the journey you set out on. I'm not going to take the time to read the rest here, but verses 24 to 28. Talk about not being deceived, not believing false reports. There's going to be a lot of deception. If you're going to be prepared, you need to know the truth and not become deceived. It says there's going to be reports of Christ's return. Don't believe them, because Christ will come in an hour when you think not. He's not coming at a moment that you can prepare for and have him come back. In schools today, there's a couple different philosophies that I've been observing. One, plod through your courses, build step upon step, do some testing, know where you're at. But I see another popular philosophy, and this seems to be a philosophy in life. Go through the material. When the tests are coming, cram on things that you really know nothing about. Hopefully you get a good grade on that test, and then start all over. That's the way people live their lives today. Many people are living their lives. When they feel like the test is coming, they cram, try to shape up, try to do things that will look acceptable. But that is not preparation. Preparation is living the life. Continuing what you started out on. The parable of the virgins at the beginning of Matthew 25 demonstrates that further. The idea of readiness. There were five of those virgins that left, I'm going to say, the Holy Spirit oil run out of their lives. They did not maintain what they started. They started out with a fire, but they did not maintain it. And when Jesus came back, the oil was gone. So we need to be replenishing the oil of the Spirit. We need to be ready in any moment. As we go to the end of Matthew 25, they're very familiar verses. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. I'm not going to take the time to read them. But another clue and what we need to be prepared for can definitely be found in what we are judged by. What are we judged by? Our love for Jesus. And how is the judge going to measure our love for Jesus? He's going to measure it by our love for humanity. And how is he going to measure our love for humanity? Do our deeds show that our heart is beating with them when they face adversity? When your brother faces adversity, do your deeds show that your heart is beating with him? When somebody on the street comes to you hungry, do your deeds show that your heart is beating with them? And the list could go on. The list here in Matthew does go on. Do we visit the sick? What are your deeds doing? What are your deeds showing about your life? In life, we would like to have a checklist. If I feed the hungry, clothe the ones without clothing, if I visit the ones in prison, visit the sick, I can check that all off and say I'm ready, right? If we go back to the rest of the message, I don't think so. I don't think so. The rest of the message says you need to have a love for God that is going to make you active in his service because of a love for God, not because of a desire to check off a few points to show that I am now prepared. A pilot, before he takes his flight, walks around the airplane checking to make sure things are okay and ready to go. But you know what? The preparation was done ahead of time. That airplane was inspected before. It was taken care of before. Any issues that were there were dealt with before. This is not the pilot's time to go around and take care of issues. This is the pilot's time to look things over and evaluate and say, yes, I am ready. And I hope that's the juncture we're at right now. Walking around that plane, evaluating ourselves, and able to say, yes, I am ready. With these thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.